Hi and welcome to St. Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. My name's Stuart and I get to be the minister here, but this week I'm not here. This week our service will be led by Yvonne Hamilton and our readings and prayers will be brought to us by Jan Haggerty. So sit back and enjoy.
Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father.
In order to know which readings to preach on each week, most churches try to follow the Revised Common Lectionary. This provides a three-year schedule of readings from the Scriptures based on the season of the church calendar. The Gospel provides the focus, and the other passages generally have a thematic link to the Gospel for that day. There is a year dedicated to Matthew, Mark and Luke, with John's Gospel scattered over all 3 years. One of the disadvantages of following the lectionary, I think, is that often the verses seem to start or stop in places that don't seem to make sense. We need to read what comes before or after to put it into context. I think today's Gospel reading from John is a good example of that. Today we began at verse 11 of chapter 10, but I want us to rewind a bit. I want us to begin at verse 10. This verse, verse 10, is right in the middle of what is often called the Good Shepherd Discourse. Today we heard the second half of that discourse, and last year on this Sunday, we would have heard the first half, when Jesus said he was the gate for the sheep. Now, depending on which version of the Bible we read from, in verse 10, Jesus talks about life in all its fullness, or abundance. In the New Revised Standard Version, Jesus says, I came that they may have life, and have it abundantly. Abundance means having more than you need. It's having more than enough of something. Jesus' statement about bringing abundant life is the hinge between those two halves of the discourse. Last year when we heard the first half, Jesus' statement about bringing abundant life was the conclusion. It was the ending point. But today, if we use verse 10 as a starting point, then Jesus' statement about abundant life is the beginning. Read in this way, it becomes his purpose statement and sets the tone for his telling of today's story about the good shepherd, the hired hand, the sheep and the wolf. Today I want us to look at those four characters and to explore how they might show us a way in which we may have life and have it abundantly. Where do you experience abundance in your life? What does it look like? What does abundance mean for you? What does it feel like when you live apart or distant from abundance? Now, I'm not talking about abundance in terms of quantity. I'm talking about abundance, having life in all its fullness as a quality of life, as a way of being. I'm sure we can all tell stories of times in our life when there was something we wanted and we worked really hard, or we waited a long time and we finally got that thing that we wanted. But once we had it, it didn't do what we thought it would. It didn't fill us up. It didn't fulfill us. It didn't satisfy us. We got what we wanted, but we had no abundance. Abundance is that quality of life that lets us touch the deepest part of ourselves. It connects us with the divine, with the holy, and with what's good, true, and beautiful in this world. It's not so much about getting something that we don't have, but living more fully into what is already present. So that abundance is love that leads to love. It's joy that leads to joy. It's peace that leads to peace. It's kindness that leads to kindness. It's stepping more deeply and more fully into our own life and into the life of another. Abundance never adds to the pain of the world. Abundance is Jesus's way of being in this world. It's the presence of God lived through your life and my life. So let's take a look at each of the characters in today's gospel. The Good Shepherd, the sheep, the hired hand and the wolf. And let's consider them as lenses through which to see abundance, to see life in all its fullness. The metaphor of the shepherd is used 60 times in 54 verses of the Bible. It speaks of God's compassion, how God provides for our needs, protects us from danger and steers us along safe paths, and how in his mercy, God seeks us out when we go astray and brings us back to the fold. So when we hear about the Good Shepherd, who do we think of? Well, we think of Jesus, don't we? But I wonder, could it be more than Jesus? Could you be the Good Shepherd? Could I be the Good Shepherd? Who have been good shepherds in your life? As well as hearing our gospel reading earlier, we also heard a very familiar psalm. Psalm 23 is by far one of the most familiar passages of scripture in the Bible. Most of us learned it as children in Sunday school, and many of us will be able to recite it word for word. It's often read at funeral services and provides comfort and reassurance in difficult times, in times of darkness. What does Psalm 23 say about the shepherd? What does the shepherd do? The shepherd leads and guides. The shepherd revives. The shepherd protects. The shepherd companions, the shepherd nourishes and feeds. The shepherd sets a table of welcome and hospitality in the difficult places of life. When have you experienced that in your life? Have you ever had someone guide you in your life? Has someone ever set a table for you and welcomed you? Who has fed and nourished your soul? Have you ever had someone companion and walk you through dark times? Surely they were good shepherds to you. Have you ever had someone say or do just the right thing and they revived your soul when you just couldn't do it for yourself? Or how about those times that you did those things for someone else? You set the table. You were the guide. You were the companion. You were the reviver. You were the good shepherd. Now, I think this happens in all sorts of ways. It happens when we parent. It happens when we love our partner. It happens when we care for a sick or dying loved one. It happens when someone shows up or calls or messages and says, I'm going through a really hard time just now and I just need someone to talk to. And in that moment, they are asking us to be their shepherd. The same thing happens when we open up to someone and say, I feel like it's one thing after another. I never seem to get a break. And well, I'm finding it really hard to cope just now. We are asking them to be our shepherd. Here's the thing. The shepherd's role, regardless of who it is always leading to abundance. The shepherd is always leading to the green pastures, to the still waters, to the table that is set and the cup that is overflowing. It's always about getting to that place of abundance. But it's not as if abundance wasn't already there. Abundance has always been here, right before us. Sometimes we just need someone to help us to find it, to point it, to show us that it's already here, and to remind us of what really matters most. Now, I'm betting that every one of us at some point in our lives has shepherded someone else, and that there have been times in our lives when someone has shepherded us. After all, there's not much use for a shepherd if there are no sheep, is there? So what about the sheep? Who are the sheep typically thought to be? Us. The sheep are us. Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. He leads, we follow. Or at least that's how it's supposed to work. And that's absolutely right. But remember, we are expanding these images and looking at these characters as lenses in which to see life in all its fullness. So let's think about this. What if the sheep are the things that really matter? The things that have the most value? What if the sheep are the things entrusted to us? And the things that we entrust to another. Think about sheep as your parenting or your grandparenting, your loving, your friendships, your marriage, your teaching, your hopes, your dreams, your losses, your sorrows, your fears. We've all got them. We've all entrusted those things into the hands and the life of someone else. And we've also been entrusted with those things too. Each time someone opens up to us or we open up to someone, we are sheep looking for a shepherd. If we think of sheep as the things that really matter in our lives, the things that have the most value, then there's something about sheep that is abundant. It's in their vulnerability, their honesty, and the way they hope. They are full and whole and life-giving. It's why they matter. It's why we care for them. It's why we receive that entrustment with great respect and honour. Jesus contrasts the Good Shepherd with the hired hand. The hired hand, he says, doesn't own the sheep and doesn't care for the sheep. For the Good Shepherd, the sheep are the goal and the reason for everything that the shepherd does. Because the sheep are everything to the Good Shepherd. For the hired hand, however, the sheep are just the means. The hired hand turns up to work half-heartedly and only really cares about the pay at the end of it. As soon as their shift is done, they're out the door. And if the job gets too difficult, too scary, too risky, too wolfy, the hired hand takes off and runs away. The hired hand lives by quantity, not abundance. And I'm guessing that we each could tell a story about a hired hand in our life. Someone who, when we needed them most, ran out on us and left us. But of course, there is another side to that question that is equally, if not more, painful. And it asks us to look at our life and the times that we were the hired hand to someone else, of the times when they needed us and we ran out on them and left them to it. Unlike the shepherd, the hired hand refuses to see or can't see what's already there. Where there's a hired hand, there is probably also a wolf. Wolves, Jesus says, snatch and scatter. Wolves devour life. They destroy abundance. They carry it off. Wolves come in all sorts of shapes and sizes in our world today. Sometimes it's the wolf of busyness, the wolf of achievement, the wolf of needing approval, or the wolf of having to be right and in control all of the time. And sometimes it's the wolf of fear or the wolf of anger and resentment. Or maybe it's the wolf of failure, the wolf of despair, the wolf of brokenness. Not only do these wolves snatch and scatter our abundance, they snatch and scatter the abundance of those closest to us too. So by looking at these four characters in this way, they all point to abundant life that Jesus brings and offers us. But it's easy to see the Good Shepherd and the sheep as images of abundance. But what about the hired hand and the wolf? Well, that's more difficult. And yet they also point to abundance, but in a different way. They point to what is not there. The opposite of abundance is scarcity. The hired hand and wolf remind us of what's been lost and carried away, of what's been abandoned. It's not as if the abundance was never there or can never be regained again. It's just gotten lost, scattered, forgotten. It's become scarce. Are our lives filled with abundance? Are we experiencing life in all its fullness? And if not, then how do we change that? Now, I'm not offering these images of what these characters could mean as answers, but simply as invitations to open our eyes and see what is. That's all that Jesus is really doing with this story. He isn't giving any answers either. Jesus says, you've got good shepherds, sheep, wolves, and hired hands. But he never really says what we're to do with that. Just like those first disciples, we are to make sense of it for ourselves. There is no one-size-fits right or wrong answer. There is only each of us working it out in our own lives. That becomes even more clear when we step back from today's gospel and see where it sits in the sequence of other stories. Sometimes, as I said at the beginning, it's helpful to look at where the gospel story falls in relationship to what comes before and what comes after. Immediately before this passage in John's Gospel, Jesus heals the man who was born blind at birth. He opens his eyes. There is a new seeing, new vision, new insight. And then Jesus tells us today's story about the Good Shepherd. After this, the next big story is the raising of Lazarus. Do you see what's happening? Do you see the sequence? Restored sight, the Good Shepherd, new life. Maybe Jesus is saying that we've got to open our eyes. We've got to see. We've got to take a closer look at these characters in order to see through them to the new life, the abundant life that he is offering us. Now, I don't think we are ever just one of those characters. The Good Shepherd, the sheep, the hired hand, or the wolf. I think at times we are all of them. Because they are all parts of us, pieces of our lives, ways that we've been and experiences that we've had. If we're honest with ourselves, I'm sure we could all tell a story about when we were the Good Shepherd and we guided and protected and we nourished. And we could tell a story of how we were the hired hand and we ran out. We could talk about the sheep that matter and are so valuable. And we could tell stories about the wolves that devour, snatch and scatter. It would be easy to divide this passage into good characters and bad characters. But let's not do that. Instead, let's just hear the story as information about our lives, without making a judgment or a conclusion, but simply as an opening to the abundant life that Jesus offers us. I came, Jesus says, that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundance is Jesus' way of being in this world. And abundance is the presence of God lived through your life and my life.
Father,
Let us pray. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yet we cling fast to what is ours, Lord. We are too good at zipping up the past, padlocking the present, and storing it within tomorrow's hopes. I shall not want. Yet here we are with our excess baggage, Lord, weighty from fears and failings, grudges and gripes, insecurities and uncertainties, and little space to squeeze you in. You sit on grassy banks, Lord, and give, in simple stories and blessings, the only food we need. You still stormy seas with mere words, and steer your people to a leaner, better place. You call us on a journey and equip us for the road ahead with nothing but promises. Your uncomplicated touch calms the chaos at the core of restless souls. And so we bring a complicated world with too much baggage and not enough space for compassion. A busy world, too occupied with itself and with no time for the lonely. A divided world, filled with selfishness and with little room for justice. We ask for healing, Lord, for those who hold on to the past and fear to step into the future. For those who cling to outdated creeds and condemn those who seek freedom. For those weighed down by troubles who see no possibility of release. May our world and its people, through the love which lays itself down every second of every day, come to know that with you, all hearts are overcome and all things are made new. May we not want, may we not need, may we not ask, Lord, for any more than to be led by you. And may we, by your leading, leave behind us all that belongs to the dark valley. Hear these our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
So go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with you today and always.